We should mention, of course, you went back with the Clinton administration and you were appointed as deputy assistant secretary then for a second time. You did that in 98 and 99.
That's correct.
Did you decide you'd had enough of that? Is that why?
Well, I had finished up all my bankruptcy cases and I sold my company in 96. Basically, I was on the beach. I hadn't started teaching yet. And I was asked to come back and handle the sale of the Naval Petroleum Reserve, which is one of the things I had run when I'd been up there before. And I said, sure. I went up there, and the government had decided, even though this was a Democratic administration, this was part of Al Gore's Simplifying America, what was his, you know, he had a project for making America more efficient. Well, one of the ideas was we would get rid of U.S. ownership of the Naval Petroleum Reserve. Now, the Strategic Petroleum Reserve is oil in Texas and Louisiana, put in the ground in salt domes that can be taken out very fast. The Naval Petroleum Reserve is just a big oil field that the U.S. government got involved in back in the 20s that you can't produce very fast from because it's an oil field, but has a lot of oil in it. It really doesn't serve as a strategic reserve because it produces 100,000 barrels a day, and when you need a strategic reserve, you need maybe 3 or 4 million barrels a day. So the idea was sell it, and there was a big debate up there on how to sell it and who to sell it to. This oil was owned 80-20 by the government and Chevron. Chevron thought they had the inside track for buying it. I was sitting here in Tulsa, and I saw this bill go through that provided that the Naval Petroleum Reserve was going to be sold in 6 months. Well, you do not sell something that's worth billions of dollars. It's 2,000 oil wells. You don't sell it in 6 months. That would have meant nobody could bid on it except Chevron. And I think I know who the guilty party of that was. He's gone on to political prominence in Texas. But anyway, somebody derailed that. And they got a new bill passed that said we're going to have a year to sell it. Well, of course, that meant that everybody else could get in the act and we could have real competition. So that's when I went up there. So I had the benefit of the new statute. We hired investment bankers. We ended up selling it to Occidental for about $3.5 billion. At that time, everyone was laughing at Occidental. I used to not tell this, but I do now. Left $1 billion on the table. We had Occidental petrified they were going to get this field. I mean, we were going through this best and final, and we were down in Houston on the phone. I had an armed guard at the door to give it sort of the pizzazz. We had a special security phone so we could talk to Washington. We had to go to the CIA, get this special phone. We called it the bat phone. Anyway, we ended up getting this $3.5 billion from Occidental, and we were absolutely thrilled. You know, there's a guy here in town by the name of Henschel, Dave Henschel. Mm-hmm. I remember seeing Dave Henschel, and he was, but I thought, a little bit shamefaced about this because everybody in the industry was laughing up their sleeve at Occidental. Now, I always thought Occidental knew more about the field than anybody else, but our projection showed oil at $30. Oil at that time was $19 a barrel. Our projection showed it moving very slowly up to $30 to $35 a barrel, and that's Exxon's projections. We spent $15 million on experts. Well, you know what happened. It wasn't any time at all. Oil was $50, and now it's $110. So Occidental has made out like a huge bandit. And the guy that made the deal, who was so desperate to make this deal, and we didn't know why he was so, he has become the president of the company. He believed in this damn field. And the result is that what looked like an absolute steal at the time for the federal government, now you look back at it and you say, well, you know, why did we sell it for $3.5 billion? But at that time, I made the call to Shell or Chevron, and gave them a best and final. You know, you call them and you say, okay, we've got the first round of bids. Now we're going to go for a best and final. They wouldn't raise their bid a penny and basically slammed the phone down on me.
But Occidental could not know. There was some dumb luck here, wasn't there?
There was luck, yeah.
Right.
The optimists have made out like bandits in this business. I mean, when you figure that you could have bought any field in America and paid 10 times its value in the 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s, and still made money. Anyway, so they made money. And I was very glad to see them do it because they were the only ones who came through and really gave us. See, the appraisal on it was about $2.5 billion. So they gave us $1 billion more than our best appraisal.
Dave Henschel, what was his position at Occidental at the time?
He may have been president of the Canadian branch, But he was involved in it.
In the purchase of it.
Yeah, he was involved. Yeah. And yeah. The president of Occidental is an Iranian by the name of Irani. And this second in command was probably also either an Iranian or a Canadian, but Henschel was in the top tier of executives.